Good morning and welcome to Calvary Chapel Lake Forest. Welcome to church here at Calvary Chapel Lake Forest. Glad you've joined us. We have a wonderful message for you today, right out of God's Word. We're in the book of John on Sunday mornings, and this morning we're in John 5, verses 30 to 47. If you want to get prepared, John 5, 30 to 47. And the message is the witness of Jesus Christ. First, I'd like to read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather here again today. We thank you for this technology where we can continue to have church and meet and just hear your word, Lord. What a blessing you've given us. We thank you for allowing us to share your word this morning. Use me to feed your sheep. And I pray we all would have our distractions removed, be ready to hear your word, and ready to take it in, Lord, and live by it. Lord, we do pray for those in our body and all over this place, all over this country and world that are suffering from this virus. We do pray, Lord, that you would, by your work, perform a miracle and remove it, stop it, if this is your will right now, Lord. We know you have a perfect timing. And if this is it, Lord, we ask that you would please put an end to it. But if there's other things you need to perform, please give us patience and strength, encouragement, diligence, and obedience. Lord, we thank you so much for taking care of us. We would pray for those that are sick, that are hurting, to be healed. We pray you protect your people and all people. And we pray that you comfort those that have lost loved ones. Minister to them. And Lord, we do pray for those storms that are headed toward Louisiana. We pray that you would put an end to them or move them out to sea and that you would protect your people there. And we pray for the fires here in California, Lord. We pray you would have mercy and grace upon the firemen. We thank you for them. Give them strength, diligence, whatever they need right now. Give them sleep. Help them, protect them. Don't let any perish, Lord. And we pray that you would just do something to put these fires down. And we thank you for all these things you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we'd like to remind you that Wednesday, we have our midweek Bible study. We'll carry it live here on Facebook. The message this Wednesday is in 1 Peter chapter 3. It'll be covering submission of wives, and it'll also be covering husbands. So join us this Wednesday at 7 p.m. Also, we have a ladies study that's by phone. And if you would like to join them on Wednesday mornings at 10 o'clock, give the church office a call and we'll tell you how to plug into it. The church number is 949-597-1591. And you can always look things up on our website, cclf.com. That's cclf.com. And that's about it. And at this time, let's pray over the offerings this week. God, we thank you for taking care of us and for those that support this ministry. We pray over the offerings this week that we would be wise and use everything that's given to further the kingdom of God. Guide us, Lord. Open doors of opportunity. Use us to share truth. We pray, Lord, that you would bless Calvary Chapel of Lake Forest and those that support this ministry. Provide for their needs and bless them today. And Lord, we ask for direction, wisdom from above, and pray that you guide us and that this is your church and you're glorified. And we thank you for this privilege in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to share something with you about the way we end our services. I usually say, and we've been doing this for years at Calvary Chapel Lake Forest, I usually say, God is good, and you respond all the time, and then I say all the time, and you say, God is good. We're going to change it up starting today. Put things into perspective. And God is good. We know that. But we're going to start saying something new. And what it's going to be is like this. I'm going to say, our God reigns. And you will say, forever and ever. And then I'll say, forever and ever. And you will say, our God reigns. Can you remember that? If not, write it down. I will say, our God reigns. And you will say, forever and ever. And then I will say, forever and ever. And you will say, our God reigns. And you know what? I just might mess up because I do that quite often when I change things. But today, let's focus on our message today. And John 5, verses 30 to 47. And we're going to have a responsive reading. And so if you're home or wherever you are listening, speak out loud as you respond to the odd-numbered verses, as I will do the even-numbered verses from verse 30 to 47, and ask you to read out loud the odd-numbered verses. And the message, the witness of Jesus Christ. I can of myself do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me.
If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true.
There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true.
You have sent to John, and he was born witness to the truth.
Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved.
He was the burning and shining lamp, and you are willing for a time to rejoice in his light.
But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me.
And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form.
But you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent, him you do not believe.
You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me.
But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life.
I do not receive honor from men.
But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you.
I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive.
How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God?
Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust.
For if you believed Moses, you would believe in me, for he wrote about me.
But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?
Thank you, God, for your word today. Guide us by your Spirit. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. The witness of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, we read, "In the beginning was the Word," speaking of Jesus, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." And then we read in John 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And in Colossians 1, 15, we are told, "Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God." Last week, we studied on Jesus being God, part of the Holy Trinity. Very, very crucial truth that Christians must believe in, that Jesus is God, the Son of God, come to this world to pay the price for our sin. And the reason it's so important is because only he qualifies to be the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for our sin. All others have sin, and they don't qualify to be that spotless lamb. But Jesus, being God, is spotless, always like us, except without sin, the Son of God. And so Jesus has begun his public ministry. He has done miraculous signs. He revealed himself to his people, the Jews, as the Son of God. He shared how he is equal with God because he is God. And his claims upset the Jews, and they sought to kill him. He directed them to honor the Son just as they honor the Father. They didn't like that. The religious leaders overlooked the signs and the claims of Jesus, and they rejected him. He came to seek and to save that which was lost as the Messiah. He came to redeem man. And his heart goes out to all people, especially his own, the Jews. But they rejected him. And they actually judged him guilty of blasphemy, being blasphemous, professing that he is God and that he is the Son of God. So now we have the defense of Jesus. We now are going to enter the courtroom. We are present with Jesus today as he presents his case, brings forth his witnesses in order that they may believe. This is great, going to church, going to court in church with Jesus. He's going to bring forth witnesses so that these people will believe. The case is presented, and even today the case is presented as to who Jesus is, and still many reject him. He is the Son of God, God in the flesh. He is the Messiah, and he now testifies of this. Why does he do this? So that people might be saved, just like you and I. It's an exciting day in court today, and the death penalty is in effect. For those rejecting him, it'll be death. However, those in attendance this day don't realize they are the ones being tried, and the death penalty hangs over their head if they remain blind to the evidence. They didn't realize if they find Jesus guilty, they are condemning themselves. Here's the transcript. We are going to read of four witnesses that Jesus will present in court. One, the witness of John the Baptist. Two, the witness of his works. Three, the witness of the Father in heaven. And four, the witness of the Scriptures. Valid testimony, sterling witnesses. I wouldn't like to be up against that. You see, Jesus came to do the will of his Father. In verse 30, we read that, I can of myself do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. What he's saying is, he's come to do the will of the Father. He does not act by himself, but in accordance with the Father. And he judges according to the will of the Father. They work together. John 5, verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. So he is the judge according to the Father. And he's judging righteously because he judges in accordance with the will of God. And in verse 31, we read, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. And a better word for true is valid. If I witness of myself, well, my testimony is not valid. You see, the Jewish leaders were legalists. So Jesus refers to the law to demonstrate who he is so that they'll listen to him. This is his opening statement. He says, well, I can't testify of myself because according, and even to our law in our country, you can't go and testify of yourself and the judge find you not guilty. We'd all walk into court and he would say, how do you plead? And I'd say, not guilty. And he says, oh, okay, if you're not guilty, then you're not guilty. Let's not waste our money on a trial. Well, that's not valid. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Well, it wouldn't be nice for criminals because they would get away with it. But he says in verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Of course, it wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't be, It would be true, but it wouldn't be valid in court. So, verse 32, there is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Well, I've got another witness, and he's pointing them to God the Father, the supreme judge and creator, Jehovah. We'll get more into that witness in verse 37. So God's witness is true, indisputable. So he first calls witness number one, verse 33-35. You have sent to John, speaking of John the Baptist, you have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Hey, you sent to hear John, and he came and he told you the truth, and many believed. So first witness, John the Baptist, you inquired of him. They knew John the Baptist was something special. He was calling men to repentance, and many were repenting and being baptized, a baptism of repentance, preparing their hearts for God. Let's turn to John chapter 1, because he calls John the Baptist as his first witness, John 1, verse 19. John 1, verse 19. Now, this is the testimony of John. Here's his testimony that he's talking about. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "Well, what then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not. Are you a prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Well, who are you? Then we give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who is coming after me and is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me." So there's John's witness. That's what they heard. John the Baptist speaking of Jesus being the way, the Lamb of God. Back to our text, verse 43, you have sent to John and he bore witness to the truth. "And yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved." And Jesus tells him, "Well, he's my first witness, but I don't need the witness of man. I am who I am. I do not rest on the testimony of man," Jesus is saying. "I don't need man to confirm who I am. I just came to save people." But in court, they believe witnesses. And John is a witness to them. And he tells us in verse 34, I gave him as a witness so that you may be saved, because he was a witness of me. So believe him. Now, what a testimony in verse 35 Jesus gives of John. "He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light." He was obedient to his call as the forerunner, the preparer for the Messiah, just as we are today for the second coming of Jesus. We're the forerunners. We should be the burning and shining lamp, as John was. It tells us that in Matthew 5, verse 14, that we're the light of the world. Let's turn to Matthew 5, verse 14, please. Matthew 5, verse 14. We read here what Jesus tells us to be. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We need to check ourselves out as Christians that we are the light of the world, or that we are a lamp representing Jesus. We're the light. We're the light of the world. And we're not to be hidden, put a lampshade over us. We are to be as John the Baptist was, a burning and shining lamp for people to see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And in verse 35, you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. People flocked to John and repented, but it seemed they were just jumping on the bandwagon, a lot of them, because many then turned away from the Lord. But John was a good witness. Now he brings in a bigger, more powerful witness, witness number two. Jesus brings in the very works he did. Verse 36. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Did you ever say, if God performed a miracle in my life, I would never doubt him. I would serve him completely. And did he do something in your life? And you found some time later, you're drifting away a little bit. You're not really close to the Lord as you used to be. You know, if the Lord does a work in your life, performs a miracle in your life, don't forget it. As soon as the enemy comes to bring doubt or quench your spirit or do something, remember what he has done. Remember the great things the Lord has done in your life. And be that light and be that testimony of Jesus. The very works prove who Jesus is. Do you remember how you were praising him once he did that mighty miracle in your life? Don't forget that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just look at the very works he does. There is the witness to who he is. You don't call on Buddha or Muhammad when you're sick or in a deathly situation. Who do you call on? Jesus. Why? Because there's power in that name. There's power. He raises the dead. So the works, these unique signs he did, the works, verse 36, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Now, others in Scripture perform miracles. God uses vessels to perform miracles. However, they were never this great or to this extent that Jesus did. And the difference is others were given the power or the gift of miracles from God. They were given it from God. They did not have this power in themselves. As we read in the New Testament, we have gifts of the Spirit. One is working of miracles, but that's given to us by God. In this case, Jesus had the power within himself to just at any time perform a miracle because he is God. That's a witness. The very works. He just could go around healing, multiplying food, walking on water, perform miracles. So he says in verse 36, the works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Jesus said to the paralytic we just read a couple of weeks ago, rise, take up your bed and walk. Remember that? Rise, take up your bed and walk. The man walked, but he listened. So we need to pay attention to the works. If the man doesn't walk, then he's not who he said he is. If Lazarus doesn't come out of the tomb, if Jesus himself doesn't come out of the grave on the third day, then you could question him. But he did all he said. We need to listen to the works. They speak loud. Remember, he healed a nobleman's son, John 4, verse 46 to 53. He healed a nobleman's son from a distance. He didn't even have to be there. He just told the man, your son lives. And the guy went home, and guess what? His son was alive. At the very hour, he figured out that Jesus said that. The very works show you who I am. He changed water into wine, power over nature. The works Jesus does testify of him. And when we talk about the works, I think of one work that is greater than any other, greater than any of the miracles. And the work that I think of is changing a man or woman's heart and life. Wow. To allow you and I to become a new creation, be born again. Can you top that? You've learned by now you can't change another person. We've all learned that. We think we can. We undertake these projects. I'm going to change this guy, or I'm going to change this woman, or I'm going to do this or that. And some people, unfortunately, think, well, I'll marry this person, and once we're married, I can change him and turn him around. And you're finding, you can't do that. Why? Because change comes from the inside. And only God can change a man or a woman once Jesus takes residence and you become a new creation. What a miracle. The greatest work that we could testify and witness of Jesus to others is the power of Jesus Christ to change a life. New hearts, sinners cleansed, made new people in Christ. Isn't that awesome? That's a miracle. Verse 37, witness number three, God the Father himself. Witness number three, verse 37. The Father himself who sent me, you notice, and here's the third witness, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. God the Father in heaven spoke of me, testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You don't hear him. You never see him. You don't have his word abiding in you, living in you, because you reject me, the Son of God. The only way to have a real relationship with God is through the Son. You don't really know God if you don't know the Son. And he says, God the Father is my witness of who I am. And you don't listen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3, please. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Matthew 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, can you imagine this scene? The heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Would you say that's a pretty good witness? God the Father in heaven. Don't you wish God would do that when you're sharing the gospel with someone? Hey, this is Jim. He's my child. Listen to him. Well, that'd shake them in their boots, wouldn't it? That'd be great. And he's pointing to people to God the Father being the witness of him. In Matthew 17, verses 1 to 5, God says, hear him. Hear him. In John 10, 30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He says, but you don't know, have this word abiding in you, verse 38, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You just don't believe. We must come to the Lord by faith. And this leads us to witness number four that Jesus presents. Witness number four are the scriptures. We have the testimony of God. Aren't we blessed to have the Bible? You know, I forgot who said it. But the saying is, there's only one thing worse than not reading, as being able to and not doing it. And I say there's only one thing worse than not reading the Bible, and that's being free to do it and not doing it, as we have that freedom in this country. The scriptures testify of Jesus, the word of God. We can't get lazy. Be in the Word of God. You know, people ask once in a while, how often should I read my Bible? I'll say, well, how often do you eat? We need it daily, more than once a day. We need the Scriptures because the Scriptures, the Word of God, and we believe as Christians it is the holy, anointed Word, inspired of God. What the Bible is allowing God to speak to us. We don't hear Him audibly today, but we hear Him by reading His Word. We don't know what His voice sounds like, but when you read the Word, think of it as God speaking to you. If you received a love letter from someone you're really in love with, would you open it and read it right away? I think you'd say yes. Well, this is God's love letter to us. So far, it's a good day in court. Great testimony. How could they find Jesus guilty of blasphemy? They're the ones that are guilty. So the Scriptures, verse 39, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Hey, you're searching the Scriptures. You think you're going to have eternal life. But you know what? The Old Testament and New Testament speak of Jesus. Now, eternal life is not found by the Scriptures themselves. Eternal life is in the Son. What the Scriptures do is teach of the Son and how to get to heaven, the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through me. Now, if you want to go to heaven and have your sin forgiven, have that life in Jesus, you must receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Believe all that He said and follow Him and obey Him. You can read about Him, but salvation isn't found by knowing the Scriptures. It's by believing in Jesus Christ, and they speak of Him. You see, people will say once in a while, well, I know the Bible backwards and forwards. And I always ask, why would you want to know it backwards? I think that's a waste of time. I'd say know it forward and do what it says. Read the Bible, but believe what it says, and it testifies of Jesus. People read the Bible, different religious books, hoping to find keys to life and eternal life, when life is really in Jesus, and it speaks of Jesus, and that's what He's telling them here. The last witness is the Scriptures themselves. They were searching for eternal life, but not the eternal one, the way. They missed the point. You can be a diligent reader of the Bible and not be a born-again Christian, not yielded to Jesus Christ. One can memorize the Bible and not have eternal life if they reject the Son. He says, the Old Testament Scriptures spoke of me. Let's turn to Acts 8, verse 26, please. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Acts 8, verse 26. Remember this story of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip in the desert? We read here in verse 26. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, hey, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, well, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the Scripture which he read was Isaiah 53. Isn't that interesting? Isaiah chapter 53, which says, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So he's quoting here. When we read the book of Isaiah 53, we see that he became that Lamb of God. We read in Isaiah 53, our iniquities were laid upon him, and he died for us, not for himself. And it pleased the Lord to put all our iniquities on him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Our sins are washed away, taken away. So it's really sharing what happened that Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53. And so we have Zechariah 9, verse 9, which talks about his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And so Jesus is saying, those scriptures were speaking of me. Genesis 3:15, where his seed shall bruise your head, speaking of Jesus. Daniel 9, verse 25, the time of Palm Sunday, this triumphant entry. Micah 5:2, born in Bethlehem. Isaiah 7:14, born of a virgin. Descendant of Abraham in Genesis, we read. Genesis 49, the tribe of Judah he will come from. And we can go on and on of all the Old Testament scriptures that talk of Jesus being the Messiah. He fulfilled them. The Old Testament, New Testament point to Jesus. The problem is, in verse 40, that was the problem then and the problem today. You are not willing to come to me that you may have life. The problem is, you just don't want to come to me. Why don't people want to come to Jesus? Well, it tells us in John, they like darkness rather than light. They like the old life in the world. They want to live their own life, their own way, do what they think is right. They don't want someone telling them what to do and how to live. You see, when you come and yield to Jesus, you're giving him the pink slip to your life, and he now runs your life. People don't want to let go. They want to live in that life that they want to have. Verse 41, I do not receive honor from men. He says, I don't need your approval. I don't need you to honor me. That's not important to me. You can reject me. But I didn't come to be honored by man. He came to save. Verse 42, but I know you. He says, you don't know me, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. Wouldn't you hate to be told that? Hey, I know you, and you don't have the love of God in you. Well, we read in 1 John, if you don't love the Son, you don't love the Father. You must love the Son. Part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You must love him. And you don't have the love of God in you. So many people love something else other than God, other than Jesus. Jesus needs to be our first love. People can love pleasure, money, possessions, glory, fame, ministry, prominence, anything, religion. They can love that more than God, more than Jesus. He needs to be our first love. And we don't need the honor from man. Sometimes people won't like us because we love God. Verse 42, I know you that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. Hey, you know, he says, fellas, this is interesting. I come in my Father's name, and you reject me, and I'm the truth. But if another man comes, not from the Father, you'll receive him. You'll receive one not sent from God. And yet I'm the one. You know what's interesting in verse 43? If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. This speaks of the Antichrist. And it's true. When he comes, they will receive him, most of the world. He will come as a man of peace and love, allow the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. Israel will receive him, but he's not of God. They are looking for this man now, mere man, not God in the flesh, a man of peace who, with the answers to deliver, and they will receive the Antichrist. It tells us that in Daniel 9, verse 26. In the middle of that seven-year period, 3.5 years in, he's going to demand that they worship him. He was fooling everyone. He said he could bring peace, but he's going to force people to worship him. Matthew 24, Jesus speaks of him, that abomination of desolation. 2 Thessalonians 2 speaks of him. And so verse 44, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? How can you ever believe when you're so concerned about honoring one another, lifting up one another, glorifying man? And today, that is still so common, where people glorify man. How can you glorify God if you're glorifying man? And you're seeking the glory of man, but what you're really seeking is to be glorified back. And you're missing the truth. So many award shows and meetings honoring each other. It's like a self-gratifying event. They get up there and they praise one another. I'm glad they don't have awards for the best pastors. Wouldn't that be awful? Hey, the best pastor award goes to, the best evangelist award goes to, the best worship leader goes to. Wouldn't that be awful? I'd be embarrassed if they gave it to me. Just kidding. Not kidding that I would be embarrassed, but I would never accept it. But wouldn't that be awful if we had meetings honoring people within ministry? The word minister means servant. Hey, the best servant in the world. That's what they should be saying. But it's so self-gratifying to glorify one another. And men love honor from one another. Jesus goes back to the witness of the scriptures, verse 45. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. Hey, there's already one that accuses you, Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. You are guilty because he speaks of me in there. You're guilty. You didn't search the scriptures properly. Moses wrote about me, verse 46. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Moses wrote about me. And how will you believe my words if you don't even believe his writings, which you've had for years? The scriptures speak of me, those first five books. In Genesis, her seed and how it will be blessed through Abraham. And Deuteronomy 18, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18, please. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. And Moses writes that in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. So there you go. It speaks of the books that Moses wrote. And they denied that. So Jesus claims to be God. He presents his case and witnesses. He's done all he could apart from infringing on man's free will to choose, to bring people to him so they might have life. Yet they reject him still today. I would encourage you, check out the evidence. Seek God and come to him ultimately by faith and be redeemed. Quite a day in court. Verse 47, if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? I say, Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh, and he came to save me and you. What do you say? And you know, dependent on what you say, he is God, the Son of God. Life or death hinges on that. If you say yes, you have life. If you say no, he isn't, you have death. God, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that you love us and saved us. Thank you that we have your scriptures. I pray, Lord, that you would Give us the wisdom and strength to be in your word every day, and that we would live by it, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Lord, I just thank you for the privilege of sharing your word. It is so powerful. And Jesus is so powerful. Just saying his name is so powerful. I would pray today that our hearts would be touched, that these words would be written on the tablet of our heart, and we would just enjoy the day, knowing we're blessed to know you and for you to know us. May the Lord richly bless you today. May he shine his face upon you, be good to you, and give you peace. May you have a wonderful day walking hand in hand with your Father in heaven. May he take care of you, keep you well, provide for you, mend your broken heart, comfort you, heal your bodies, and may he just give you wisdom from above and use you to minister his love to others. May the door be open. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.